Sorry, my brain just farted there. Yeah, if you're talking about the donor and the recipient, if they're both on the moderately, well, 5-year-ish modern medicines that can bring that viral load down, you know, your preps and whatnot, even if they're not normally on PrEP or they're on a very different dose of PrEP, because it can affect you in the long term and da,
Just
da,
for our
da.
listeners' sake, PrEP is pre-exposure prophylactics, which
Yes.
is a essentially a HIV medication.
Yes. But we have these medications now, so all the excuses that made sense 10 years ago don't make sense in current year.
And that's part of where I'm getting at. When we think about where we started 10 years ago,
Yeah.
in that time, there is now,
Yeah.
I think they're looking at a once a year injection being approved. You know, it used to be like there is a readily available once every 3 months HIV medication. And if you were on this medication, you will go from having, you know, imagine you have, you know, 1 in 10,000 blood cells is infected or what have you. And
Yeah.
it makes the percentage of infection so incredibly low that it's only a vague mathematical possibility that there could ever even be enough to possibly infect somebody. We have reported on probably about a dozen people being cured of HIV, but that's because it lives in the tiniest crevice of the most back of the cupboard cell in your body and
Well,
just hides there like syphilis. You know,
it lives mostly in your T blood cells and your bone marrow, which is why 3 times I think we
well, that's what I'm
reported
saying.
on somebody getting bone cancer and then being in remission for both bone cancer and HIV.
And that's because they fully irradiate you.
Yeah,
And
well.
then, you know, you're talking about bone marrow transplants, and that's not a, you know, that's not a pop to the GP on the weekend kind of trip
Yeah,
to
you
get a
don't want to
bone.
do that. You don't
Yeah,
want to do that.
it's one of those things where if you have to have it, positive side effect, cures the HIV.
But I remember when that first story, that first time they did that, where they irradiated somebody for bone marrow cancer, and then when they recovered, their HIV was just gone. It was just one gigantic dot, dot, dot question mark. What did we just learn? Because it was an issue of, I think we just learned something, but we haven't figured out what we learned yet. And that was, even to this day, they're still trying to figure out the full implication of what that means.
So essentially, the medication makes your body very hostile to HIV replicating. It's like HIV is just hanging out in your bone marrow, going, "Hey guys, anyone there, guys?" And there's just nowhere for it to go, you know. And that is improvements in health that have gone a long way. We've also reported repeatedly, because the government's been in power for about as long as we've been in the radio show, that the Liberals will solve the challenge of HIV infections in Canada. And I believe in the entire time we've been broadcasting, they have had to be sued into action on anything. Like, I mean, and it still remains. Canadians may not realize this, but if I wanted to donate my eyeball to you, I can't do that. I still don't understand why they can't just rinse it off under a tap, but there is something about ocular donations that still remain prohibited based on sexual orientation. And that's the old HIV risk back there. You know, in the time that we've done it, we now can donate blood. You know, that's a relatively recent decision. It's.
Actually, that's another spot where we have an advantage because we are capable of saying they've been overpromising and under-delivering, and we don't have to worry about our funding because there is none.
Yeah, they haven't given any to us. We are not one of those media shows that took the Trudeau dollars. You know, I don't know anyone who did, to be honest. I don't think there are Trudeau
No,
dollars.
there aren't. I mean, everyone's being accused of taking Russian money.
Yeah,
You
we've
know,
got to wait for a $250 check in the mail.
I
Like,
mean, I got my Russian money, but it was in ruples. I bought a hamburger with it, and that was it. Because it was a gluten-free hamburger, so it cost twice as much.
exactly,
As all my ruples
absolutely.
gone.
Oh, so much ruples. I think it's interesting when we consider the sort of arc of history and that broader view. I did allude earlier to the big kerfuffle this year was what to do about
Mary?
the Middle East
Oh.
and the conflict there. And so many pride organizations have landed on one side of the other, generally speaking, on the one side of the debate.
My favorite was the Ottawa Seniors Network, which basically said, this is somewhere between 50 and 3,000 years old, depending on how you want to count it. We're not going to solve anything. Yeah, and I was good job.
It's like me in the hunter in Mali. Like, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah, no, they're basically like, obviously we support non-combatants on both sides. We hope for a peaceful resolution. There's nothing that any of us are going to say that even begins to capture anything.
Well, Capital Pride in Ottawa released a statement essentially coming down on the side of the Palestinians. Mm. A lot of the city services and, more importantly, the school boards, the moment it got political, backed out. Now, queer folks will say queer is political, like the body is politic.
Yeah.
And therefore, this is not surprising, but the school board pulled out, and there was a rogue school bus in the Pride Parade. Uh-huh. And this is a bit of a shock to some, but the school board trustee, Donna Blackburn, was like, being critical of the state of Israel does not necessarily make these people marching on this street anti-Semitic and therefore unsafe to the Jewish students. It's just like those things don't necessarily, those dots aren't necessarily connecting.
There is a way, like if you're complaining about policy regarding the transference of cargo from boats to trains at their ports, and you could say Israel's doing a poor job of navigating that, that doesn't make you anti-Semitic. Like, you can critique Israel as a state, as a governing body who deals with policy and planning and water treatment without that being anti-Semitic. And there is also a way of critiquing the Israeli state that is 100% Semitic.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's all about the C word and the N word again. It's all about that context and nuance. What are you talking about? What the details are? How you...
It also depends a lot on definitions.
Oh, well, so yes.
There was an inquiry at the school board into Donna Blackburn's decision and what she did.
Oh, right.
And the inquiry essentially came back, the Integrity Commission was what it came to. Essentially came back and said, there just isn't a very good definition on anti-Semitic. So I can't quite put a pin on the donkey of what is anti... Like, you can't... To be accused of something, you need a definition of the thing that you're accusing her. And the Ottawa Carlton District School Board did not have a sufficient definition of being anti-Semitic. But
I feel like that's easy to look up.
The school board censured her anyway.
Okay.
Despite the commissioner's conclusions. She's now been sent to training on anti-Semitism, which I think fair enough. Because she did say in an email exchange something which most reasonable people can deduce is anti-Semitic.
Okay.
She was replying to her various emails. This is a highly truncated version in the Ottawa Citizen. She says, I have no desire to connect, It is clear to me that my struggles matter not, The fact I live in daily fear matters not, What matters is the power of the Jewish community, as it always does. Now, that stereotype, that myth of a secret Jewish cabal is an anti-Semitic trope. Which is just, it's not good. It's been used to villainize Jewish people and has deep-rooted history in massive crimes against that community.
I mean, there have been tensions between the LGBT community and the Jewish community here in Ottawa because the Jewish community gets better service from the police, but whenever anything happens with the Jewish community, they get full cooperation with the police. They have been working very hard at nurturing a very good relationship. And even when things go poorly, because things happen, you've got humans, you've got, maybe you do have an anti-Semitic officer who's the first respondent on a situation who completely messes up the situation. And that does happen. But then they figure out a way to mend those bridges and go forward because the relationship between this, you know, minority, vulnerable community with a history of bigotry and the police is incredibly important to them. And I remember I sat through this, and I think you sat through this as well, because we both, over the past 14 years, acted as police liaison committee chair, where, not chair, secretary and administrator, where the police basically said, if you want that relationship with the LGBT community, then you need to put in the footwork. And we did see some people put in the footwork, just not everyone altogether, and you do need that united front. And I think that is an issue, the relationship between the community and the police, or the community and City Hall, or the community and the feds, or community and... actually, there is one thing that we've nailed, and that is the relationship between the LGBT community and healthcare. Especially when it comes to communicable disease, STBBIs.
We talked about Mpox most recently.
Yeah, doing a fantastic job of saying, okay, look, yes, you messed something up, you got the timing wrong, you advertised something incorrectly, you're talking to the wrong people, blah, blah, blah. Whatever, we forgive you. What's most important is that we get on this as quickly as possible. And I think that is something that's pretty important to point out about the community. And I don't know, some of the things where when you see something like, well, why is the Jewish community in Ottawa getting special treatment? It's like, they're not. They've been nurturing this for 50 years.
But we also, just from virtue of how much we've done this,
yeah,
we've looked at the Stats Canada hate crimes data,
mm-hmm.
and we know that the amount of hate crimes against the Jewish community and the queer community
yes.
have gone up.
Yes.
But the hate crimes against the Jewish community are greater in volume, mm-hmm. they're greater in severity, they mm-hmm. are greater in sort of rate of occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say queer folks aren't being targeted,
yep, but yep.
there are more Jewish people being more targeted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there just yeah. seems to be that many more anti-Semitic people out there that are doing this. There are more anti-Semites than there are homophobes, apparently.
How many movies? I watch a lot of bad movies from the 80s and
homophobia. By choice.
By choice. And homophobia is often a punchline. Like, some guy goes into the wrong bar and then some leather daddy comes out, grabs him in the crotch. And it's just like, I mean, sometimes it is like, there are times where it's done and it's kind of funny. But other times it's like, this is the punchline you're going for?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... There's issues there, you know?
Things have evolved. Now, we're going to jump to our next track. This is Love, Loss, Applesauce by Backseat Dragon, which I believe is an Ottawa-based band. And we will be back just after.
My life and who I am.
welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And I want to talk about gay watches.
Gay watches?
Yeah, you're probably thinking, ooh, how is a watch gay? Well,
I know I've heard people say the watch is the only piece of jewelry that's acceptable for a man to wear. And you can just zhuzh that up and wear, like, a diamond watch and a fancy watch, and now you're wearing a lady's watch, and people are like, but it's a watch, so it's acceptable. I don't know, I'm making it up.
Yeah, no, this particular gay watch, you might be best to ask the Malaysian government.
What?
Because the
government... Where is this going?
The government of Malaysia raided the Swatch watches.
Okay.
Do you remember when there was a crackdown on, you know, all things gay?
Okay.
And these watches in Malaysia have a tiny rainbow on the back of them. They're like a solid color. There's one of every color in the rainbow. And at the back of them is a little bit of a rainbow flag. And that was too much for the local mayor in, you know, and the Malaysian government.
Okay.
So they raided all of the Swatch watch shop. Say that five times fast. And took all of the watches. You seem stunned by this. But we did report on it at the time. There was a number of international countries starting to turn on queer representation. We started to see the rise of the No Say Gay anti-propaganda laws popping up all over the place. Russia, Belarus, Belarus. And so on and so forth. We're sort of seeing them all over the place. Well, anyway, a court has just ruled that the government of Malaysia may have jumped the gun on their Swatch watch crackdown, and they've been ordered to return the Swatch watches to Swatch. You're desperately trying to look them up here.
Well, the number one thing, whenever anyone's like, you know, take that down or burn it down or remove it or take it away, it's got a rainbow on it. The first thing I check, is it a six-color rainbow and the colors are correct? Because half the time it's like a seven-color rainbow. It's not even the LGBT rainbow. It's just a rainbow. It's, I don't know, God's promise to not flood the earth again rainbow. Or it's, you know, the Roy G. Biv, you know, primary school rainbow, or it's, you know, there's a million rainbows it could be. So when I see, that's too many colors. And those are the wrong colors. That's wrong. That's not the gay rainbow.
Yeah.
That's regular rainbow.
Swatch did take the Malaysian government to court and say, look, you know, unless they're going to be cracking down on mist, water and sunshine. Actually, which reminds me, do you remember, I can't remember what it was. I think it was in Europe. I want to say Slovenia or Poland or Estonia, somewhere like that, where they had a pride flag or a mural that was constantly being defaced.
Yes. So they projected it.
So they installed a fountain and shone a light on it to create an actual rainbow, which is remarkably difficult to deface with a car.
It was a rainbow projected onto a fountain. So you could spray paint that rainbow if you want, but it's kind of self-fixing.
It's going to literally wash away.
Yeah.
Anyway,
there was another one that actually did a thing with a prism, but I don't remember where that was. But yeah, the one in, it was Romania?
It was somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Constantly being defaced. And they were like, you know what? Sod it. Try and take on nature.
That was like 8 years ago.
It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, the court found against the government. But will that mean you're going to have your nice gay watches in Malaysia? The answer is no.
It's not even gay. It's not the gay rainbow.
Because within months, the government introduced legislation, which had they had done the raid 2 weeks later, being completely legal.
Okay.
So they have introduced legal backing for raids of that nature on overly gay watches.
Good job, Malaysia.
But at the time, they acted too hasty. Too hasty.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else who has been acting too hasty and, frankly, behavior that which is abominable is the Ugandan story. Did you hear about that one?
No.
A court in Uganda found the local mayor and the town authorities to have conducted torture against about 20 who they accuse of being gay men. The courts found, frankly, completely insufficient evidence that they were gay. they were just a human rights organization.
Right.
They probably were gay, to be honest with you, but the fact is that they had insufficient evidence to prove anything.
Yeah.
But the behavior, the beatings, the assault, the assault with burning wooden chunks of wood, the other acts of torture, which I won't bore our listeners with, or traumatize our listeners with. Anyway, they were found guilty of that, and they've been ordered to pay the equivalent of about $2,000 per person, which I believe is probably significantly more in Uganda. But it does mark a significant legal victory, and hopefully a warning to the police authorities in Uganda to not do that again, hopefully saving other Ugandan men around there.
I have a better story.
Yeah, I hope so.
From Namibia.
And moving on from torture, what does Namibia have in store?
If you remember, Namibia is north of South Africa, west of Botswana, and on the west coast of Africa. It's a coastal country. They had pretty interesting news. Recently, the Namibia's Republican Party, now Republican in countries that are not the US.
Yeah, Republican is in not monarchist.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin Wessels and William Minney are the first openly LGBT serving members of parliament in Namibia. So
nice.
Yeah, they got elected in there recently, and they're openly serving. I mean, we don't know about who was in there in the past.
We were talking about, I think it was Nigeria recently, where mob violence is literally running gay men out of town. So yeah, this is brilliant news. And finally, the last story I will share, and it speaks to this sort of cyclical nature of queer news that we were talking about. We reported repeatedly on legal action being taken by the EU against Poland for having these LGBT-free zones.
Poland is a weird country when it comes to this sort of thing.
Essentially, the EU is saying, if your little municipality wants all of our nice, tasty, yummy EU dollars, or euros, because they're Europe, then having laws specifically discriminating against Europeans of a sexuality doesn't fly.
And to be fair, the federal government in Poland has been saying for quite some time, those are just weird municipalities. That is not federal policy.
There were a lot of them.
But Poland, it seems to have the same cultural impact as South America, where they have this general feeling of like, I also hate them, but is it the state's job to hate them, or is that just a hobby I should have? And they actually have been increasing the number of protections and rights in Poland for LGBT people.
They just this week added, I believe it's sexual orientation, and I don't know, I need to go back and confirm if gender identity is in there. But they've essentially added sexual orientation into the hate speech prevention laws.
They've read it into existing hate speech laws. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of the Trudeau Senior, he had that policy back in the late 60s, early 70s of like, if you want to be homophobic on your own time, that's your business. But that's not the state's job. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of going in that direction in Poland, which is a fantastic first step. I'm all for it. I want to encourage this behavior.
Well, we will continue to bring you big gay news from across the country and the world. We're playing out with Cold in Toronto featuring Nicole Jaskert by Grace Chiang. I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
How am I supposed to get to where I want to? If you're trying to keep me depending on you. It's cold in Toronto, it's getting right to my bones. With each minute that passes, it gets harder to let go. Don't wish me the best, pull me into your mess. Deep down you don't wanna see this through. I
Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Are you struggling with an LGBT issue? Maybe you're a parent, a family member, employer, a coworker, an educator, a healthcare provider. PFLAG is Canada's only national organization that helps all Canadians who are struggling with issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.